All right, Wednesday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Just a couple of things off of the pregame. Bukele there speaking, the president of El Salvador, talking about, you know, you can cleanse your society all you want, but you're going to have to go after the corrupt prosecutors and the corrupt judges, as we've been talking about on this podcast for 5 years to 15 days to flatten the curve. You've got to haul down the judicial system that hauls Republicans in front of blue jurisdictions and blue judges. That all has to be taken down. Everything. Think about how great things would be going. Things are already going great. I mean, A++++++. Already with the Trump administration. However, how great would things be going if there weren't corrupt judges in the way? So Bukele is absolutely correct. Here's another thing, just to keep in mind. The State Department today was cut by 10,000 jobs. This is the greatest time ever to be an American. Right now, 10,000 State Department jobs are being axed as we speak. I mean, that's on top of all the ones we've already heard about. On the downside of things, this will probably pop into my head more as we go, but Georgescu out of Romania was arrested shortly after being on the Alex Jones show. And that's the guy who actually won the election in Romania. And he's a non-Russian interventionist, whatever you want to call it, but he doesn't want to intervene in the Russian, you know, Russian-Ukraine situation. He is a populist nationalist along the lines of a Viktor Orban. And Viktor Orban has taken on lots of refugees coming out of Ukraine, but has not overly involved himself in the Ukrainian war. That's from Hungary. And basically, that's what everybody elected. I don't know how to properly pronounce his first name. I would say it's Kalin Georgescu. But he is a Trump of Romania. He's a populist nationalist, wants the best for the Romanian people. He used to be under the Iron Curtain. And he won the election easily and just a few months ago, and they removed the election win from him. You're like, who? Basically, it's a European Union insiders of Romania coup. Brought about by Ursula von der Leyen and insiders inside of Romania. What were the charges? I mean, why? First of all, now he's been criminally charged, and the charges are, get this, racism, xenophobia, and collusion with Russia. Does that sound eerily familiar to anybody watching the podcast right now? It's right out of the Hillary Clinton globalist leftist bourgeois elitist DNC James Comey playbook. And boy, James Comey's world's burning to the ground right now. Listen, James Comey's going down. I rarely ever say that. James Comey's going down. And I just want to see how many people are going to go down with him. But back to Georgescu. So basically, they did to him what they did to Donald Trump in 2020. They just did it post-election. And man, imagine, he actually won the election, declared the winner, and then afterward they said, no, you didn't win because of Russian interference in the election. Explain to us what the Russian interference in the election was. That's all I want to know. Again, to this day, Republicans and Democrats both say that we all know that the Russians interfered in the 2016 election. How? Please just give me statistical data about how they interfered in the election. I want to know how many votes they gave Hillary, how many votes they gave Trump, how many they take away from Hillary, how many they take away from Trump. I want statistical data. So they say Russians interfere in the election, so we're going to take it from you. What did the Russians do in Romania? Get this. This is exactly the same as 2016, because demons are going to demon. Demons do the exact same thing over and over again because they're zealous, but they're not intelligent. So they did the exact same thing here. What did the Russians do in this Romania election? They bought a couple hundred thousand dollars worth of ads. Facebook ads. That was it. They didn't go in and rig voting machines. They didn't go in and do what Americans, what the CIA does, is actually assassinate presidential contenders. They didn't do any of that. Nothing like that. They didn't do what Victoria Nuland, Jake Sullivan did, and John McCain and Lindsey Graham and all the rest of them in 2014 in Ukraine, actually overthrow a duly elected president. They didn't do that. So what exactly do the Russians do here? They bought Facebook ads. Oh, no. They bought Facebook ads, and that's what they used to pull the election down. And now, not only did they pull the election down, now they've arrested him. Why? When they arrested him? When he was going to sign up to run in the next election. Right after he left the Alex Jones show. He's on his way to basically go and register for the next election, which they know he's going to win, so they arrest him. And he just got out of jail a few hours ago and put on house arrest. And his charges are literally xenophobia. Xenophobia is basically that you're a nationalist populist, where you're basically saying that our country comes first. And you won't allow in certain other people in your country, like illegals, like Muslim extremists, people like that, or anybody you dadgum don't want in your country. You know what? That's like a trespass warning in the state of Florida. People ask you, why do you want them trespassed? I don't need to tell you why I want them trespassed. I want them trespassed because I want them trespassed. That's the end of it. No, it's my property. He's trespassed. I don't want you here, period. That's the way this should be in every country. And that's what Kalen Georgescu believes in. Now he's been arrested for racism, xenophobia, and collusion, and a list of other thought crimes. That's it. You're like, Tom, who cares about what's going on in Romania? This is huge because they're trying to use this as an escalator into the Ukrainian war. They're trying to use this as a trigger point to get everybody more involved because what they want is a pro-Ukrainian Romania. It's hard to say that in a hurry. But that's what they want, to get Romania on the side of Ukraine to try to stoke more ire from Russia to attack Ukraine so they can continue to stoke the wars, the potential of global thermonuclear war. You're like, why would anybody want this? Because they're stupid. I mean, I know there's a way more detailed explanation behind it. Obviously, military industrial complex and what they consider to be an endless war, but it wouldn't be an endless war because most of the people would be dead. So that's that. And I just have to comment on the one thing from that idiot. And Aaron, listen, Aaron usually doesn't comment like too much over the top, but he's like, man, that woman's an idiot. And I don't even know how to pronounce her name. It's like Jaquiti Hanujosa, who was on CNN there with Scott Jennings. And she's talking about, if we're going to cut all these other programs, then we need to cut Elon Musk $16 billion. You're going to compare circumcisions in Mozambique to SpaceX? I mean, imagine being a Democrat right now, and that's what you're tasked to do. Because this, now she's an idiot, but she knows what she's doing. She knows she's out there pimping and whoring for the globalist left. And you have to actually, listen, if you have some sort of moniker of logic involved with what you're saying, like, you know, I want to lower taxes for Americans. I want to figure out how to, you know, deflate the inflation, whatever it may be. You have some sort of ounce of integrity, some sort of ounce of truth. But how do you in the world do you actually go in there and say, if we're going to cut out the circumcisions and the trans drag shows in Peru and the Muppet show in Iraq? I mean, if we're going to do that, then we're going to need to cut the $16 billion from the guy who rescues astronauts. I mean, can you imagine being a Democrat right now and that's your platform? Truly unreal. All right, let's go to the first one, Will. All right, Visegrad 24. This is in the pregame, but I got to set this up, this Trump section of the show. Trump, the European Union was formed in order to screw the United States. You know what? That's absolutely true. Play for me.
The European Union's been, it was formed in order to screw the United States. I mean, look, let's be honest. The European Union was formed in order to screw the United States. That's the purpose of it. And they've done a good job of it, but now I'm president.
What will happen if these countries or the EU retaliate?
They can't. I mean, they can try, but they can't.
China did. They're
pledging to, sir.
That are.
So we have these massive trade deficits. In other words, you can't sell American cars. And just very simplistic, there's many other things involved in this. Basically, what it is, you can't sell American cars in Europe. You can sell European cars here. And if you do sell them there, they have these massive tariffs that go onto these cars. And then what happens also is that what they do is they have like a, like a 20, it's just, I'm just making up the numbers. I do know one of the numbers. It's a 2% tariff for UF car, European Union cars, like German cars. I'll just use German because that is the car. It's a 2% tariff for German cars to come in the United States. It's a 25% tariff for American car to go there. So, you know, if you have a $75,000 car that you're like a truck or whatever that you're sending over to Germany, it's going to cost $100,000 at the top and then on top of their taxation. So it'd be like $115,000. What they do with the German cars is they actually come here and they get a 2% tariff on them. And then the government of Germany actually pays the tariff for them. So there is no tariff on their cars. And Trump's simply saying this is a giant screw job to American industry, which, you know what? Here it is. It is. It absolutely is. And he's simply saying, you know what? 25%, we have 25% tariffs on all of us because of these massive multi-hundred billion dollar trade deficits. In other words, they're making a whole lot more money off of them than we are. They're making a whole lot more money off of us than we are off of them. That's a trade deficit. And Trump's simply saying, I want to equal it out. What's wrong with that? Imagine being on the opposite side of that argument. No, I want America's products taxes and tariffs are one and the same. I want American products tariffed way higher than incoming products. What? That's the Democratic Party. That's the Democratic Party. Truly unbelievable. All right, so that covers that. So and that next thing up here, Real Robert video. And this is the damning email obtained by King Solomon, really John Solomon. It's written by Real Robert. CIA Director Mike Morrell asking CIA Director John Brennan, get this now. This is all coming out. This is a glorious time. Like, Tom, you've already said it. I know. It's a glorious time to be an American. I mean, because this is all going to come out. Listen, they can try to delete as much as they want. First of all, you really can't delete anything, but they don't have enough time to delete it all because here it's, and now it's all coming out. John Ratcliffe's in charge of the CIA now. CIA Director Mike Morrell asking CIA Director, this is in an email, if he could facilitate the overthrow of the United States government during the number, this is just Real Robert writing this right now, number three, on November 3rd, 2020 elections. This is a quote. CIA Mike Morrell, CIA Director Mike Morrell, trying to give the campaign. Aaron, should the CIA be involved in campaigns?
Nope.
Okay, nope. I'm just making sure that I'm on target here. You guys in this banana dance, you're even distracting me with these banana dances over here in the chat. But CIA Mike Morrell, don't keep trying to distract me now. There you go. I know you guys are going to keep doing it now. So I'll just have to blot it out. But I do like the banana dance. I like to participate in myself. But anyway, got to talk about Mike Morrell from CIA. CIA Mike Morrell, this director of CIA, trying to give the campaign, particularly during the debate on Thursday, a talking point to push back on Trump on this issue. That's the CIA director talking to the previous CIA director, involving himself in a domestic campaign. The CIA isn't even allowed to talk inside of the United States of America. I mean, this, folks, this is beyond the movies. You ever watch the movie Breach? It's way beyond any of this. We all thought, you know, these guys are committing these tacit crimes that have plausible deniability. There is no deniability here. This is a violation against rights. This is an absolute felonious crime / crimes that Mike Morrell is committing on an open communication source. And John, this was to John Brennan. John Brennan answers back, former CIA director. Okay, Michael, add my name to the list. Good initiative. This was the Everybody 51 former intel chiefs signing up and saying this Hunter Biden laptop is Russian disinformation. And the these are the people that they trod out on MSNBC. And CNN, and give us your expertise. These guys are corrupt criminals, and you want their expertise? From Andrew McCabe, from James Comey. I mean, the stuff that Comey has done, it goes beyond the movies. There's no corruption with plausible deniability. It is just absolute, abject, pure corruption. And it's not even smart corruption. You actually have, I mean, again, I guess that these people don't have an Aaron Yeager in their life to explain to them as 50 and 60-year-old men that emails are going to be seen by other people. What a bunch of idiots. I mean, what a bunch. These are the people that are in charge of protecting the United States of America, and you don't realize that your own governmental emails are going to be read by somebody?
Yeah.
On a government account? And you're talking about making up a story to give a boost to the Biden campaign when you're supposed to be an unbiased alphabet agency? That's exactly what happened. Exactly what happened. All right, so there is... Oh, go, Aaron. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, that's exactly why Hillary Clinton had her own server so that people couldn't actually see her emails and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the reason why.
Yeah, it is. And but, of course, she can't hide that either.
Yeah.
There's no hiding any of this stuff. there really isn't. I mean, the bleach bit stuff, I guess she's gotten away with, but nobody's looked into that. Nobody's actually looked into that. I mean, do you really think Trey Gowdy was going after it? He's an operative for the left. Hey, Trey, go out there and sound like you're tough for the right. And he never actually does anything. He's a freaking gelding, got him lopped off 20 years ago. So this is a Real Robert video, John Solomon speaking. Play for me.
Here is the news. Just a short while ago, just the news obtained this email. This is a very important email. It comes from the former CIA director, Mike Morrell. Yes, the guy that organized that letter from the 51 intelligence professionals who tried to fake you into thinking that the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation when it wasn't. It is between him and John Brennan, one of the signatories. You know who John Brennan is? He was Obama's CIA director, right? He's the guy that told Obama, hey, Hillary Clinton is doing a dirty trick on Donald Trump called Russia collusion. Well, this is just before the presidential debate between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. Hunter Biden's laptop is flinging out there. This is what Mike Morrell, former CIA director, tells his successor, John Brennan. Hey, signed this letter because I'm, quote, trying to give the campaign, particularly during the debate on Thursday, a talking point to push back on Trump on this issue. A man with a security clearance, a man with the title of CIA director, knew that he wasn't creating an intelligence product, a Merrick civic duty with 51 people. He was trying to create a political moment. Damning evidence. We'll try to find out if Congress has this letter, but this is a very important piece. It is the ultimate proof that what went out on that letter was a political dirty trick coordinated with the Biden.
50 former national intelligence folks who said that what this he's accusing me of is a Russian plant. They have said that this is has all the care. Five former heads of the CIA, both parties, say what he's saying is a bunch of garbage.
This is classic Trump. We have 4 days left, and all of a sudden there's a laptop. There's overwhelming evidence that from the intelligence community that the Russians are engaged.
I still think that the stories from the fall about your son Hunter were Russian disengagement at a smear campaign, like you said.
Yes, yes, yes. I know you'd ask it. I have no response. It's another smear campaign.
It's the last-ditch effort in this desperate campaign to smear me and my family. The vast majority of the intelligence people have come out and said there's no basis at all.
Again, you look at the level of what is happening here. I mean, this was coordinated by Trump's CIA director, Mike Morrell. This is, to the former Obama CIA director. Again, it is one giant amoeba. It is one giant symbiote. It is one giant circle bleep that simply feeds themselves money. That's all that this is. All these guys, what they do is they get done with the CIA. Where do they go? Where do you think they go when they get done with the CIA? They go to Atlanta Council. They go to some democracy institution. They go to the Brookings Institute, which are all NGOs funded by you and I, and they get $500,000 a year salaries, if not more. That's what this all is. And if you don't behave yourself, probably got pictures of you having sex with kids. If you don't behave yourself, then you don't get these $500,000 a year jobs. And I'm just being extremely moderate. I'm just saying it's probably way more than that. Millions and millions, tens of millions of dollars. If you don't behave yourself, then you don't get the Brookings Institute job. You don't get the Atlantic Council job. You don't get the green energy job and whatever. And this myriad of NGOs that are out there. If you don't behave yourself and if you're not Mike Morrell, but I thought Mike Morrell was a Trump appointee. I thought he was a Republican. Now, none of these people are Republican. None of them are outside of Trump. And listen, I don't really like Marco Rubio's body language right now. I'm just warning you right now. I don't like it.
Yeah.
I'm seeing him in these things. I don't like his body language. And I'm not claiming to be an expert, but when you're a cop for 25 years, you know how to read people's body language. I don't like his body language at all. I mean, he's doing a good job. If he keeps doing it, fine. I'm not going to say a word about it. He's angling to be president is what he's trying to do. I get it. But he better make sure that he's performing, and he better not be subverting Trump. And if he is, Trump needs to fire his butt publicly and not worry about the consequences. I don't like it because I keep seeing him, and he seems to be kind of embarrassed. Not Elon. Elon's going in there. He's rolling with $300 billion in his bank account, and he's got his Trump hat on, his black outfit. Everything he's wearing is black, including his hat, except for the red letters like this on his hat that says, "Make America Great Again." That's what I want. I want you sitting there smiling. Like, this is the greatest thing ever. That's why, like, Pete Hegseth is not sitting there, Marco Rubio. This is a little bit beneath my dignity, the language that Trump is using. This is that sort of attitude, that sort of fake virtue is why we're almost $37 trillion in debt. So here's some more fun. Just got to go back on this real quick. I listened to most of the interview today with General Flynn with Alex Jones, and it was absolutely riveting. General Flynn lives right. As a matter of fact, I listened to all of it, I think. General Flynn lives literally 15 minutes from here. Great, great person. I met him a couple times, and a great family. Met some of the family members too. But this is a Murray video. Does anyone remember when James Comey bragged about weaponizing the FBI? Play for me, Will.
It's hard to imagine two FBI agents ending up in the sit room. How did that happen?
I sent them. something I probably wouldn't have done or maybe gotten away with in a more organized investigation, a more organized administration, in the George W. Bush administration, for example, or the Obama administration, the protocol, two men that all of us have perhaps increased appreciation for over the last 2 years. And in both of those administrations, there was process. And so if the FBI wanted to send agents into the White House itself to interview a senior official, you would work through the White House counsel, and there'd be discussions and approvals and who would be there. And I thought, it's early enough, let's just send a couple guys over. And so we placed a call to Flynn, said, hey, we're sending a couple guys over. Hope you'll talk to them. He said, sure. Nobody else was there. They interviewed him in a conference room at the White House Situation Room, and he lied to them. And that's what he's now pled guilty to.
What did he think they were coming over there for?
I don't think he knew. No, we didn't tell him. Just said, we've got sending over a couple of agents. I want to ask you some questions. I didn't have this conversation. My deputy director did. But hope you got a few minutes. You can sit down and talk to them. And he said, sure.
This man is a repulsive human being. Absolutely disgusting human being. There are people right now languishing in prison that didn't commit any crimes. And he sleeps like a baby at night that he prosecuted. I'm telling you that right now. And this whole thing. I mean, again, just to lay the groundwork very briefly, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this. Everybody knows about the collusion hoax, but and this was just a part of, this was basically a sideshow of the collusion hoax. But, so you had Flynn is the incoming national security advisor. The NSA, he's coming in. This is a high freaking ranking position. Trump has already won the election. They're in the White House right now. He's already won the election, and it's passed now January 20th. So they are now in the White House. And Comey thinks, okay, this isn't a very well organized. And he's demeaning. He's talking about the two men that we've come to highly respect. You highly respect Hussein Obama, and now you highly respect George W. Bush. And all these people are laughing. And then they're like, ooh, they used to call George W. Bush a demon. And now it's, ooh, he was a great guy, right? So Comey in his very demeaning, snub your nose, high-browed, stump your nose kind of attitude that he has. It's like, it was a little early on, and they weren't a very organized administration. None of them have ever been in politics. Donald Trump had never been in politics in his life. He went from no politics at all to the president of the United States. There's going to be a little chaos at first. But anyway, so it's just so demeaning. But anyway, and all of these people in there, I sent two agents in. They all laugh. Really? How would you feel if the roles were reversed and this was a conservative director of the FBI, Kash Patel, and now assistant deputy of the FBI, Dan Bongino, doing this to Hussein Obama's administration? Would you all be laughing then? You shouldn't laugh now, and you shouldn't laugh if it was the other way around either. It's not funny when the FBI is going in there to orchestrate an investigation into a crime that didn't exist. Now, long before this, because this is post-Trump win, and they're already in the White House, James Comey, John Brennan, Hussein Obama, Joe Biden, and one other person, may have been Susan Rice, I don't remember. But anyway, they all met in the Oval Office to discuss the fact that there was no collusion going on. This was all made up by the DNC. So they all acknowledged that there was no Russian collusion at all. I know that's a sideshow, but this is the precipice of all of this. So they're sitting there all talking about this. Like, this was orchestrated by the Hillary Clinton campaign. Hillary Clinton called Mark Elias and Perkins Coie, who hired Fusion GPS, who hired Christopher Steele, hired Igor Danchenko to harvest open source data off of Google and create the Steele dossier. They all knew it was fake. So now you have an incoming NSA, and you're going to charge him with a FARA violation, Foreign Agency Registration Act violation? He's the incoming NSA. What they're saying is that from November to January 20th, he was talking to foreign entities, as every other incoming NSA has done for the last two centuries, since 1776. They all are contacting Trump was. They could have charged Trump with, then they could have charged Hussein Obama for doing it 8 years before that. They could have charged everybody in the Biden administration for doing it in late, 2020. They just make it up again. It's charges that have a tacit connection to the accusation of a crime. Not to the crime itself, but to the accusation of a crime. When you're going to lobby for a foreign entity, you have to do it through FARA, Foreign Agent Registry Act. It's not agencies like foreign agents like Born Identity. It is basically that you are going to lobby for a foreign agent. You're going to be an agent for a foreign entity. And they're claiming that's what Flynn did? This is a man who was CIA, and this is the DNI and NSA. I mean, this is a guy who's violating the, and he has top secret clearance. He doesn't even qualify for a FARA violation, but that's what they charged him with. And then Comey says that he lied during the interview. That's why you never talk to these freaking feds ever. I'll never talk to one of these guys ever. I will, if an FBI agent came to my door, I'd walk out there with a broomstick in my hand and I'd tell him, listen, before I ever say a word to you, I want to watch you shove this thing up your rear end. I'll never talk to you, you idiot. You freaking Nazi. I will not do it. And that's what Flynn should have done. Maybe not the broomstick part, but whatever. I would advise the broomstick part, though. But anyway, so then Peter Strzok and the other FBI agent interview Flynn, and both of them on their 302s, which are their witness statements, their summations, and by the way, it's a felony for them to write a fake 302. Both of them on their 302 says that Flynn never told a single lie. And then those 302s were changed later and said that Flynn told a lie. And then you're like, well, why did Flynn take a plea deal? Because they were threatening to prosecute his son and he was already bankrupt and already lost his house. That, again, the prosecution is the punishment. And he was facing 7 years in prison also. If the prosecution is the punishment, because they bankrupt you because they just print money to continue to finance their persecution via prosecution. You don't have the ability to do that. If you print money, you go to jail. If they print money, they just keep up with the prosecution. You go to jail for printing money. They do not. You go to jail for counterfeiting. They don't. So Flynn had to, and he took the plea deal, and then, of course, Sidney Powell came in and just revealed everything that was done because Flynn obviously had an inept attorney before that, because Sidney Powell came in and just tore the federal government a new one and got him completely off on all of it because he didn't do one. He didn't commit one crime. He's allowed to talk to a foreign. He's allowed to talk to a foreign entity. Everybody does that. It's what you're supposed to do. You're in an incoming administration. He had already been appointed as the NSA. And again, they'll find anything, any little tacit connection to the accusation of a crime, which is what they did to Trump in New York City. Are there campaign finance violations? Yeah, certainly there are. $130,000 payment to your attorney to reimburse the attorney for paying off Stormy Daniels doesn't qualify. It has nothing to do with a campaign, except for the fact that Trump was in the midst of a campaign. this is when, in order to make these charges fly, where do they have to happen? Just like they did with General Flynn in D.C., in NYC. That's the only way you get them to fly. You got to find an Engeron. You got to find a Mershon. You got to find a Chuckin. You got to find a Fannie Willis. They're not going to happen. All right, here's another one. A Real America's Voice video. Any Republican who thinks about voting against this should be primaried into oblivion. Mike Benz tells us about a new bill that was just introduced and passed. No censors on our shores. Mike Benz will make it make sense. Play for me.
Well, there's an incredible new bill that Representative Daryl Issa just sponsored, and it just passed today unanimously out of the House Judiciary Committee. It's called No Censors on Our Shores. And what it does is eventually blocks entry into the U.S. by any foreign government official who's a part of a foreign government government speech censorship apparatus, is also sends them packing if they're already here. And so you have this situation where you have these oligarchs in Europe, you have these oligarchs in Ukraine, these oligarchs in Romania, these oligarchs in Brazil, who have their cushy beachfront property in Miami or on the Northeast Corridor or in California, and they maintain property here in the U.S. They have networks and communities here in the U.S. And while they are using their own country's laws to coerce speech crackdowns and to target U.S. social media companies and the speech of hundreds of millions of Americans, we are giving them a free pass to come and go on our own soil. Meanwhile, they are seizing assets of our companies on theirs. For example, Brazil shut down X and seized assets from Starlink, a completely unrelated company, just because they thought Elon Musk, by targeting Elon Musk, they would be and his portfolios, they would be able to compel more censorship out of X. The EU has threatened to do the exact same thing, also to go after Tesla, they've threatened. Why should they be here on our shores when they're functioning as effectively enemy combatants and massive human rights violators by going after the very thing that they call other countries autocratic for doing? And so this is a very powerful point of leverage. If this passes through Congress, and I believe a full court press should be applied to make sure that any Republican who even thinks in their sleep about voting against this should be primaried into oblivion, and $100 million going to their primary opponent to make sure that that happens is a necessity.
I mean, just imagine claiming that you are a purveyor of democracy, a believer or a defender of democracy, like all of these European Union countries, and he named also Brazil, which shut down X. Why is Brazil even allowed in our country? Shut down X. Seize Starlink properties and threaten to seize Tesla properties, all for because Elon Musk supported Donald Trump and was trying to keep X up in Brazil, free speech in Brazil. And, you know, some of this money that the USAID was putting out there was for free speech in Ukraine. You and I are paying for free speech in Ukraine. That didn't go for free speech. That went to take down free speech. You have these institutions like National Endowment for Democracy, which is what, of course, an NGO funded by you and I that pays Democrats to run it, hundreds of thousands of dollars per year to run it, and then send out millions of dollars for Democratic Party globalist causes. That's where our entire budget is. $36 trillion basically went to NGOs to fund Democratic Party projects, leftist globalist bourgeois elitist projects. But these people who espouse banning speech, which, by the way, is the UK, 3,300 arrests per year for speech violations if you insult somebody. And who gets to determine what an insult is? Now, those same people want to go fight for democracy in Ukraine. Well, how are you a believer in democracy? I mean, what is democracy to you when there's no free speech? What is this democracy that you're going to fight for? If you're in Romania right now and you just elected Georgescu, and now you want these people who just cancel your election to put a rifle in your hand and you go fight in Ukraine in the name of democracy when you just had your election stolen from you. Well, how do these people in any way, shape, or form, I don't even like to use the word because it's associated with the Democratic Party, but how are these people democratic in any way, shape, or form? They're not. And Mike Benz's bill was just passed it. You know, if you don't believe in free speech, you're not allowed on our shores. I mean, that's the ultimate. That's what you do. If you don't believe in freedom, then you're not allowed to be in a free country where you can say anything you want here. You should be able to say whatever you want here, period. If it's not invoking terrorism, it's not causing, not invoking, provoking terrorism, it's not provoking terrorism, and it's not pornography, all right, those laws are already in books, then you should be able to say whatever you want. What about anti-this or any? You do whatever you want. If you cross the defamation line, you'll answer for it in court. I'm just saying you should be able to say whatever you want. Defamation is not a crime. It's a civil offense. You can pay big fines for it. Ask Alex Jones, who's wrongfully accused of defamation, both in Austin and Connecticut, which are just junk, horrible, ridiculous charges. But this is exactly the type of measures that we need to take. Let's go to the border briefly. Bill Malusian tweet, a CBP official tells Fox News that since Trump's inauguration, get these stats now, 1,650 Mexican illegal aliens have been deported deep into the interior of Mexico. I love it. They're not just pushing them across the border, which I've advocated for. This is way better. On 14 DHS removal flights, 1,308 of them came from Border Patrol arrests at the southern border. So they were scooped up at the border, then flown back deep into Mexico. You know how long Mexico is. I mean, they're flying them basically to the Guatemalan border. It's great. I mean, literally, I'm not exaggerating. They're literally taking them there. CBP says Trump administration is flying these Mexican illegals deep into Mexico rather than having them bust back across the river, with the goal being they want to make it as difficult as possible for them to get back to the border and try crossing again. The U.S. consulate in Nuevo Laredo just put out a warning to migrants, alerting them that DHS is flying illegal aliens as far south into Mexico as the border with Guatemala, and any illegal crossings will be met with immediate and permanent deportation. Illegal entry is, this is what the CBP put out in Nevada Laredo, the U.S. consulate. Illegal entry is not a trial and error process, a CBP official tells me. Actually, what he told Maluja, not the Post. Deportation is final. You don't get to try again tomorrow or in a few hours. Certainty of release is over. There is now certainty of arrest, detention, and removal down to the Guatemalan freaking border. That's what needs to happen. This is what you need to do. All right, let's pick on the UK for a couple minutes. This will be fun. So this is Radio Genoa. This is UK and Islam. I have a major problem with it. I have a whole Islam, talk about steel dossier. I've got a whole Islam and UK expose that I never got to, but I've still got it. Still got it. Still want to do it. It's timeless. It's evergreen. But anyway, Radio Genoa video. Here's the king, King Charles, and it's the moment that he met an adulterous affair, just like all the rest of them. And Camilla helped package dates. Okay, they're there packaging. It's just side by side, this one, guys. So here's Charles and Camilla. They're helping the package dates for Muslims. They have a Muslim rape crisis. So they're going to package dates for the rapists, so when they get done with Ramadan. That's really a fact. I mean people consider that to be too harsh. I don't care. You know what? The rapists are about to stop on Ramadan. And all basically everybody who's committing violent acts inside the Ukraine, I mean, inside of the UK, is Muslim. No, Tom, I'm telling you, it's a fact. It's absolutely a fact. It's like most crime in NYC is illegal immigrants. It's a fact. So what we're going to do is the King of England and whatever her ridiculous title is, we're going to package dates for Muslims. What about all your citizens? Why aren't you making tea for them? I mean, you're like, Tom, explain to me why it is that countries prefer illegal aliens and specifically why they prefer Muslims. Because when you're a globalist, leftist, bourgeois, elitist, they are very useful for you. Like of course, King Charles is, who tries to use climate change as a vehicle to usher in totalitarianism. He likes to use third world migration to usher in totalitarianism, where you have to run to the government for protection from the illegals that they migrate in that cause the problem and offer you their totalitarian solution. It's all very useful for them, for their agenda, which is to leverage you into a one world commerce system with a singular access point. Nobody has tried to do more of that than Prince and now King Charles. There he is, packaging dates for mostly illegal immigrants who commit most of the crimes inside of the UK. I don't know why I keep saying Ukraine. It's UK, Ukraine. It's pretty easy slip. But anyway, so why in the world are they doing this? So I wanted to look into this. So let's go to the next one, Will. Giordano Bruno video. Wow, this is what the UK actually looks like right now. And the King of Great Britain is packaging dates for when these people come off of Ramadan. Play for me.
Look here, look.
Go,
look. Go, he's got a knife. Go.
You're an idiot. You're fucking idiot. Find the Quran.
Go. He's got a knife as well.
No.
Oh, you got a knife, man. Come for
fucking idiot. Hey,
don't come to me.
Come from here.
Listen, I'm just filming,
you're
yeah?
Find the Quran.
No, you shouldn't be. Listen.
This is my religion. You don't buy Quran.
What are you doing? I know, but if you say something.
So you're under arrest for GBH.
Okay.
Weapon. You do not have to say anything, but may harm your defense. You do not mention my question, something should I try and report. Anything you do say may be given evidence. The reason for your arrest is that you've been seen coming out with arrest on the night.
I didn't hit any. I hit him, but I didn't hit him with a knife. I didn't have knife. I didn't have knife. I don't have knife.
The necessity for escaping
the government. Anyway, he didn't find any knife with me. Anyway.
Thank you.
All right, so there you go. Now that's the people they're packing dates for. They're packing. I wonder if they're going to specifically pack the dates for the knife-wielding maniac who went to try to stab the guy to death for burning a Quran. You know what I'd do if you're burning a Bible? Laugh at you because God's coming. I don't have to worry. I don't have to take vengeance for God. I'm commanded in Romans chapter 12, verse 19 to not take vengeance. The vengeance belongs to him. But anyway, so you're going to package. You might as well be packaging their nuts. Why don't you just package their testicles for them? You know, why don't you go wipe their rear ends for them as the King of England? You're sitting there, they're taking over the street. You have that Muslim call to prayer. I mean, how do you even look at yourself in the mirror as a member of the Liberal Party in England? You've allowed your country. It's Aaron just said it. Them, the King of England, with whatever Camilla is, packaging their nuts, their dates. You're doing that. That is simply... Or it is simply just stating publicly, I'm conquered. If you're going to lick somebody's boots and kiss their rear end, but you're going to package dates for people coming off for radical Islamist rapists, you're like, Tom, not all of them are that. I understand that not all of them are that way, but get them to denounce it. Go ahead. Go up to a Muslim and get them to denounce it. Go ahead. See how that'll work out for you. But anyway... Them doing this, simply stating publicly, we're defeated. We're finished. We're absolutely done. Unbelievable. But then, now we'll skip way out back ahead down to Radio Genoa right after the Andy Ngo video. So this is what they actually do is Tommy Robinson speaks out against it. How do they treat him? Do they package his dates? No, they send him in prison. Play it for me.
Fucking put you out on Put him under arrest, please.
Aaron just said it and I couldn't help but comment off of it. How many cops do you freaking need to arrest Tommy Robinson? How many cops do you need? Why don't they dedicate this? To the Muslim rapist? Why don't they dedicate all these cops to the Muslim wielding a knife and trying to stab somebody? Somebody trying to attempt murder. Look at Tommy Robinson. By the way, I believe he's on like day 50 of solitary confinement in prison right now. Why is he in solitary confinement? What's he ever done outside of speaking? He didn't wield a knife. Listen, if you speak about a Muslim rapist, you get more time than the rapists themselves. If you speak against an Islamic murderer, you get more time than the murderer himself. That's the state of the UK right now. You're like, Tom, who cares about the UK? I do, because many Americans want to be them and think of them. Oh, that's what the UK does. That's what we need to do. How many cops do you need to arrest one person? I was a cop. I could have talked Tommy Robinson, if he was a criminal, into the police car. I mean, why do you need all these cops? I mean, look at them all. Look at all these cops. Absolutely ridiculous. He is an absolute global treasure. And hopefully things get better. But, I mean, again, he's in the judicial system inside of the UK, which actually makes our wretched system look good. All right, let's go to the next thing here. All right, Lips of TikTok video. Maryland Democrats, here's our opposition. This is from today or yesterday. Maryland Democrats are pushing a bill. I guess they don't learn that they just got demolished in an election. There was another election for congressional seat. They just got demolished again. Lives a TikTok video. Maryland Democrats are pushing a bill to put vending machine condoms in kindergarten and nursery schools. Oh. No, that has to be hyperbolic. That's Fox News. Play it for me, Will.
Eye-opener to this one. The Maryland State House advancing a bill that would permit condoms to be sold in vending machines on public school campuses, including preschools. Republicans in the legislature say it's going too far. Maryland State Delegate Kathy Shalega is calling on parents to wake up and she joins us now. So here's what Maryland Department of Legislative Services says about this bill that's making its way through the State House. This bill repeals the misdemeanor prohibition against an associated penalty for selling or offering for sale a contraceptive or contraceptive device by means of a vending machine or other automatic device at a kindergarten, nursery school, elementary school, or secondary school. And I think a lot of people at home are saying, what?
All of us on that, well, most of us on the House floor said exactly that. What is this? So we offered an amendment on the bill on second reading, when you can amend a bill, to just say, look, just high schools. You know, we wouldn't like that either. The Republicans and the Maryland Freedom Caucus would not like that, but they rejected it.
So somebody in the chat, send me an explanation. Maybe you're a leftard and you're watching this right now. I got 6 minutes left on CTN. Whatever, maybe, I don't know, because you know, most everybody on Rumble, they come to the show specifically for the show. But anyway, maybe you stumbled across it here on CTN, watching it on Comcast right now. Say, log yourself onto Rumble and go to our chat and send me an explanation if you're a Democrat of why a Democrat would do this outside of pedophilic reasons. Aaron, can you think of one?
No.
Will?
Nope.
Okay, I mean, why in the world? You have a standing law in place. In the state of Maryland, which used to be run by an alleged Republican governor named Larry Hogan. I don't know who's the governor now. But anyway, you have a standing law in place where you are not allowed to have condoms and vending machines on nursery school campuses, kindergarten campuses, elementary school campuses, middle school. Remember, middle school is 6th to 8th graders. Are they supposed to be having sex? No, it's a felonious crime. But anyway, even if you're a juvenile doing it. But anyway, and on high school campuses. Why in the world, unless you're a pedophile, would you want kids seeing condoms? Are you trying to normalize sex with kids? Maybe is Alex Jones been 100% correct instead of 99.9% correct? If you're a Democrat, how in the world, if you are Senator Wiener out, a state senator out of California and Gavin Newsom, I know I use the example all the time, but again, there's no other explanation. Why would you lower the sodomy penalties in the state of California for those that rape a 14-year-old anally? Explain that to me. I mean, why would you, if you're Wiener, again, name appropriate, name apropos. But anyway, if you're Wiener, you wake up in the morning, you're thinking, you know what? I want to lower the penalties for those that rape 14-year-old kids anally. And it's specific to anally, too. There's nothing about vaginal rape or anything. It's just anally. What is your motivation in life exactly? It has to be in the UN Charter, lowering the age of consent also to like 14, where a 47-year-old can have sex with a 14-year-old. I mean, explain to me the motive behind it if it's not pedophilic. I just would love to know. Why would you want a nursery school? You're talking about 3-year-olds having access to a condom machine? Why? Why exactly would you be like, obviously they wouldn't be wearing. No, it is to normalize sexual relationships with children so that children become accustomed to being sexualized so they don't call the cops, or so that eventually you can put legislation in place where you can actually have sex with kids. That's the point of it all. I mean, again, the evidence is now overwhelming. When you have basically 400,000 kids missing from the southern border, and the reason why they're missing is because of the policies of the Biden administration and Alejandro and Mayorkas. Alejandro Mayorkas. I forgot him. Don't talk about him anymore. But Alejandro Mayorkas and Joe Biden and border czar Kamala Harris. And you have 400,000 kids missing into the wind, primarily those being sex trafficked and labor trafficked and just missing. And the kids have been documented to be delivered to strip clubs. Explain to me how it could be anything else than you facilitating pedophilia. How could it be anything else? What would be your motive? I get up in the morning, man, I really want condoms in nursery schools. who would ever think that way outside of somebody wanting to have sex with kids or normalize sexual relations with kids? Why are you exactly, what is your motivation if you are the party that wants transgender drag shows for kids? Where you want 48-year-old men with their penises taped up twerking in front of 8-year-old girls. What would be your motivation behind that exactly? Freedom? That's democracy to you? No, that's criminal child abuse is what that is. Speaking of that, go to the next one, we will. Libs of TikTok tweet. Breaking more trans violence, Alice. Now, would you ever look at this man who has a beard and call him Alice? Alice, whose actual name is Fully Penist Michael Atwood. I'll put my own middle name in for him. Michael Fully Penist Atwood, who goes by they, them, of course, pronouns, was arrested by police in Canada after allegedly stabbing two of his children with a knife. One of his children's esophagus was severed during the attack and now requires months on a feeding tube. So there again, I could dedicate an entire show to trans violence and trans sex crimes. Dedicate an entire show to it. Because if you're trans, you're evil. If you're trans, you're delusional. If you're trans, you are mentally ill and you are not the sex you're claiming to be. It's quite simple. So now here's the interesting. We'll go to the next one, Will, but I'm going to talk about it for a second. Riley Gaines' video. So remember now, with Trump put out his new Title IX executive order where boys are not allowed to play in girls' sports. Men are allowed to play in women's sports. That's the end of it on any level, new Title IX. That is a nationally applicable statute, nationally applicable EO. It is now federal law. Whether people like it or not, you can reverse it in 4 years. But right now, that's federal law, no matter what the governor of Maine says. In the end, remember Trump said basically almost everybody outside of Maine has jumped on board. Even the NCAA immediately jumped on board. But has the NCAA jumped on board? Play for me.
We see you, NCAA.
We see you, NCAA.
We see you.
You announced a new policy after Trump's executive order.
This policy does not protect females.
It sets no clear boundary.
This policy does nothing.
To ensure women's sports are for women only.
You said you were going to comply with federal law.
But you didn't.
Your policy is based on a birth certificate.
That's the proof required.
But it's no proof of sex.
A birth certificate is a piece of paper.
Which can be altered in all but 6 states.
And around the world.
And they can be wrong.
In 44 states, a person can change their birth certificate to say female.
And your policy still allows males on women's teams and in their locker rooms.
We see you, Charlie Baker.
We see you, Charlie Baker.
We see you, NCAA.
We see you.
We've been spit on.
We've been yelled at.
Called terrible names.
We've been shot at.
You tried to silence us.
But we are not going away.
Young athletes are depending on us.
They're depending on you.
And if you won't stand up for female athletes,
we will.
We demand fair sports.
We deserve safe sports.
We aren't backing down.
NCAA women's teams
are for female athletes only.
That means those born female.
XX only.
No substitutes.
All right, so there you go. What happened? This is what the left always does. Is they make up their standard of validity. Trump is a convicted felon, right? Well, how is he a convicted felon? Because by our standard of validity, which is a Democratic judge, Democratic jury, Democratic grand jury, Democratic prosecutors, Democratic appellate court, Democratic jurisdiction. So by our standard that we've created, he is deemed to be a convicted felon. Well, here, what his name? Charlie Baker, who's the head of the NCAA, he says that he complied with the Trump rule, but he didn't really comply with the Trump rule because his standard of validity is now false. The standard of validity is not valid because it is a birth certificate. It's like the only states that Kamala Harris won were the states that don't require voter ID. So now you have the standard of validity, which they say we are complying because we're showing you that our compliance is valid by our standard of validity, which is a birth certificate that can be altered in every state but 6. So a guy wants to be a girl and play in girl sports because he sucks at the guy sports, can now simply alter. Oh, they're doing it all over the states anyway. It's illegal in the state of Florida. We're one of the 6. But you can just go and have your birth certificate changed. And of course, the NCAA, Charlie Baker, knows that. So because he's pro-trans playing, and I don't even want to say trans. He's pro-fully penis men competing against women and setting world records every day. That's what he's, for some strange reason, he believes is personally beneficial, politically beneficial, economically beneficial for him to be pro-men playing in women's sports for some reason. And if trans is so great, why are no women playing in men's sports? I'm just curious, why are women not entering the 185-pound middleweight division in the UFC? I'm just curious. I mean, I'm around both UFC fighters and lower tier MMA fighters all the time because my son's an MMA fighter. I never ever see women try to infiltrate the gym. It's weird. I don't see it. I never see it. There's a woman who comes and does some training, but I mean, I never really see them try to infiltrate the gym. Like, hey, you know what? I really want to go and fight that guy. So how could it, if it's not beneficial for a woman to infiltrate men's sports, then how is it beneficial for men to infiltrate women's sports? And especially because men are always the perverts. Tom, how could you say that? Because it's true. Oh, go ahead and argue with me. You got 25 years of law enforcement when I never, ever dealt with one female pervert ever in 25 years. 25 years in a day, not one female pervert, not one. I know there's exceptions with the teachers that are banging 14-year-olds. I get it. I'm just talking about who's peeping in windows, males or females. You ever see a woman trying to sneak into a men's room? No. So, it's just another joke and a false standard of validity where you hear the Democrats say, look, the media is reporting it. Yeah, you told the media to report it. You gave the media the false story. So it's a false standard of validity. That was right out of the collusion hoax where they got the FISA warrant against Donald Trump, to spy on Carter Page. Why did they get it? Because one of the reasons why on their false FISA warrant, which is why Comey and McCabe and Rod Rosenstein need to spend the rest of their life in federal prison. Because on their FISA application to spy on Carter Page, they said, look, it's one of their pieces of evidence is the media is reporting on collusion with Trump. They're the ones who fed the media that story. A false standard of validity. Look, what Charlie Baker from the NCAA. Men cannot play in women's sports if their birth certificate says that they're a man. So all the men who want to play simply go get in 44 out of 50 states, get their birth certificate changed to female. He knows it's a false standard of validity. There you go. All right, let's go to Doge. Let's have some fun there for a couple minutes. All right, Department of Government Efficiency. These are my lists. I've added this to my long, long list. These are all brand spanking new. I love these. I absolutely love these lists. And it, as a Democrat, you are defending continuing to spend this money. Imagine that. We think if Doge is going to cut all of this money, then Elon Musk should lose his $16 billion worth of government contracts. Oh, let's compare and contrast, shall we? U.S. taxpayer dollars were going to be spent on the following items, all of which have been canceled by Elon Musk. $69 million for Eurasian Foundation to do digital transformation activity. Does anybody even know what digital transformation activity is? Aaron, do you know?
No.
Okay, I don't either. Aaron, if anybody would know in this room, it'd be Aaron. I have no idea. $32 million for Internews, whatever that is, for programs including, that's the Internews that we actually found. That was that little deserted office that doesn't actually exist. Internews doesn't actually exist. $32 million that was allocated to Internews, which doesn't exist, for programs including media enabling democracy inclusion and accountability in Moldova, that's another one, and the promotion of sustainable media outlets. Whatever sustainable media outlets is, nobody will know. $7 million for the American Bar Association to promote the resilience of the Eurasian legal sector and civil society. Can anybody explain that one to me? Aaron?
No.
Will? What is promote the resilience of the Eurasian legal sector and civil society? Can anybody explain? Because Aaron, $7 million of your money went there.
Good.
$520 million went for a consultant to do ESG investments in Africa and mobilize private sector resources and expertise. And if you're a Democrat, you're in favor of that money continuing to go there. That's what you're running on. Please do and run Kamala Harris again. Kamala 2028. $25 million. I'm going to get a shirt, Kamala 2028.
I'll make it for you.
Yeah, thanks, Aaron. Yeah. $25 million to promote biodiversity conservation and promote licit livelihoods. I don't know what licit livelihood is. By developing a socially responsible behaviors in Colombia. $25 million. $40 million to improve social and economic inclusion of sedentary migrants. So for fat migrants, we get sent $40 million to them. $42 million for Johns Hopkins to research and drive social and behavior change in Uganda. $45 million to address the needs, opportunities, and challenges identified by activists and other civil actors engaged in nonviolent collective action. $52 million for the World Economic Forum. But luckily, all of this has been canceled, and if you're a Democrat, you're in favor of continuing spending money like this. And that's what, I mean, that's what they're all doing. This is reckless what Elon Musk is doing. How is it reckless? This is destroying people's lives. And like that, I can't remember her name now. I was like, whatever, I guess buried too far down in my stack. But the former DNC head, whatever her name was, I can't remember her name. But anyway, that was on CNN. She's saying that Elon Musk is getting grants for himself. Fine, give me one. Fine, give me the grants. Give me the list of grants. Elon Musk and Donald Trump are making money off of cutting this. Explain to me how. And show me a list. Again, show me a list as good as this one. Just break it down for me dollar for dollar. I want to see where Elon Musk and Donald Trump are actually making money. I would love to see it. All right, let's go to the next one, Will. Department of Government Efficiency tweet, agencies often have more software licenses than employees. And licenses are often idle, paid for, but not installed on any computer. For example, at GSA, with 13,000 employees at GSA, there are 37,000 WinZip licenses, 19,000 training software subscriptions, and multiple parallel training software, 37,000 more licenses. There's actually 24,000 more licenses than employees. 6,000 more training software subscriptions than employees. 7,500 project management software seats for a division with 5,500 employees. Three different ticketing systems running side by side. More absolute, complete, and total waste. Go to the next one for me. Here's more on this. The audit was repeated at the Department of Labor. Initial results, 380 Microsoft, 365 licenses with zero users. 128 Microsoft Teams conference room licenses only installed in 30 rooms. 250 VS Code licenses only using 33 out of 250. 129 Photoshop licenses only using 22. Five, when you don't care, when it's not your money that you're spending, I'll just get another license. Five cyber security licenses with less than 20,000 seats. I don't even know what DOL headcount is. I have no idea what that is. All right, go to the next one for me. It's all the Doge stuff right now. This one we're going to deep dive into. Department of Government Efficiency tweet, a former ICE employee and Biden transition member. Remember, what is life all about, folks, now? What is the United States all about? Forming NGOs to pay Democrats and our taxpayer dollars finance the NGO. That's it. That has been the game since you and I have been alive, and I'm 56. That's been the game. Form an NGO, finance it with taxpayer dollars, and pay Democrats through the NGO and their family members and everybody else. That's it. That's what I thought we were about the Washington Monument and Iwo Jima. No, that's what we were about. Not anymore. It's about this right here. A former ICE employee and Biden transition team member joined Family Endeavors. There's an NGO, Family Endeavors, in early 2021 and helped secure a sole source HHS contract for overflow housing from licensed care facilities. Whatever all of that even means. What does help secure a sole source HHS contract for overflow housing? What does overflow housing mean, and how do you determine whether it qualifies as overflow housing? As a result, Family Endeavors cash and portfolio of investments grew. Get this just a little bit, Aaron, just a little bit, Will. Before they were a government-financed NGO, they got $8.3 million and under the Trump administration. That ballooned just slightly in 2023 to $520 million. Since March 2024, HHS has paid $18 million a month. $18 million a month to keep the Pecos facility open despite it sitting empty. $18 million a month for this facility that's sitting empty. With national licensed facility occupancy now below 20%, HHS was able to terminate this contract, saving taxpayers over $215 million a year. This is it. This is what our country is all about, is this sort of waste. Let me show you this. I hope I did. Did I give you the next one, Project Veritas?
Yes, sir.
Thank God. Okay. Family Endeavors, the person who secured this contract, they hired Andrew Lorenzen Strait, who's anything but straight, by the way, a former member of the Biden transition team, exposed by Project Veritas. Play for me.
Meet Andrew Lorenzen Strait. He oversaw ICE detention facilities prior to joining the Biden transition team.
I myself am not an immigration attorney. I'm a child welfare attorney. So I did not think when I came to work for ICE that I would get back in the world of child welfare proceedings. But lo and behold, I am, and I'm doing this. I am the parental rights coordinator for the agency as well as leading a division at headquarters.
Lorenzen Strait came under scrutiny in 2022 for brokering contracts worth hundreds of millions of dollars between the federal government and the company he works for, Endeavors, where he was the senior director for migrant services and federal affairs. Following an investigation, he resigned. But a Project Veritas journalist found out it's still business as usual for Andrew Lorenzen Strait, who is now brokering billion-dollar deals for companies that handle migrant services. One of his largest contracts is worth $2 billion with a company called Cherokee Federal.
So now I own my own firm that does migration and refugee emergency humanitarian response.
Really?
So right now...
Are you working with the federal government at all?
Oh, yeah. And I did not want to be back on the front lines. If you Google me, it's not a pretty picture on the right. I got crucified.
So when I left Endeavors, I formed my own company.
Which is
with my partners. Verdant Point. Well, there's two companies.
What was
Verdant,
it?
There's Verdant Point.
Verdant Point.
It's after a bird.
Oh, okay.
It's a bird that migrates on the southwest border.
There you go. Okay.
And then Tanager, it's another bird that migrates on the Darien Gap.
I think it was something different on your LinkedIn, though. So
no,
like
it's Deepwater Point.
Deepwater Point?
That's what the media thinks of. That's what the conservative press thinks of. To them, they think I'm just sitting there in this giant company just pining and out of the game of trying to change the immigration system.
But you're not.
I'm not.
Despite his stated work to, quote, change the immigration system, Andrew admits that the border crisis and the handling by the Biden administration has been a, quote, boom for business.
So again, the guy is dating another man at orchestrated by Project Veritas at the time. And he's claiming, you know what, people think that I'm out there trying to change the immigration system. Will, if you would, go back to that prior Department of Government Efficiency tweet, a former ICE employee, the Family Endeavors one from two. There you go. So there you go. This is what this guy was orchestrating. This is how corrupt everything is. This is what our country is about, is people personally enriching themselves via our taxpayer dollars. I wish that I could come up with a more concise statement about what this country is all about, but that's really what it is. Is people enriching themselves via our taxpayer dollars at no expense to themselves. They don't start companies. They have no capital investment. They simply get our taxpayer dollars, like right here. The former ICE employee and Biden transition team member, that was him. That's him. That's Andrew Lorenzen Strait. Joined Family Endeavors in early 2021, helped secure a sole source HHS contract because he's a Biden transition team member. So he gets whatever he wants, but it's not their dollars. It's not Biden family dollars. It's our dollars. It's taxpayer dollars. And secures an HHS contract for overflow housing from licensed care facilities. As a result, Family Endeavors cash and portfolio investments grew from $8 million. You guys, secures them a contract. They were an $8 million company. And now they're a $520 million company who spends $18 million a month on an empty facility. And don't care. And this goes on all the time. $18 million a month and $215 million annually. Does Andrew Lorenzen Strait care about that sort of waste and fraud? Absolutely not. He's gotten rich off of it. Because what this country is about now is forming NGOs that are financed through taxpayer dollars and making Democrats rich. That's it. All right, 1014. That's good. Love you guys. Appreciate you. Rumble Ranch tonight. Texas Billy, $50. Robin Aroni, $20. Volvo 960, $10. Jules, 21 hours, $5. Pumpkin Drifting on Wood, $5. Thank you guys so much in the rant. Stick around for the post game back here tomorrow. And that post game is super cute. Got a lot of dog stuff in it tonight. Stick around for it. It's uplifting. Good one. Good one tonight. Stick around for the post game back here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. God bless you guys. Love you.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lively podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.